Welcome back to our podcast. It's Society 9. This is Lynn, the founder and CEO of Society 9.
And Megan Ciccone Fraser, the director of marketing sales.
We are so excited about this podcast because we have Julie, co-founder of Haymakers for Hope. And we are really proud to say that we are one of the sponsors for Haymaker for Hope's event in October, Bells of the Brawl. And it's happening October 5th at the House of Blues, Boston. This fight is going to feature 30, is that correct, Julie?
Actually, right now, 28.
It's going to feature 28 fighters, all females, all first-time amateur fights. It is a USA Boxing Club sanctioned event, which is really cool because it will go towards their amateur records. And the best part is this event is raising money for a really great cause to literally knock out cancer. And I'll let Julie speak more to that. But really quickly, for those of you who don't know what Society 9 is, Society 9 is the brand for the fight in every woman. And we make the best boxing and MMA gear for women out there. So Julie, I would love for you to share your story with our audience, because for those of you who have never heard of Haymakers for Hope prior to this podcast, I think that Julie should definitely first share her story, because her personal story is really what makes Haymakers for Hope. The cause itself is really powerful, but her personal story is really what makes the growth of this organization really meaningful to the world of both cancer survivorship as well as cancer fighting. So, Julie, take it away. Please tell us all about how you are literally, quite literally, a fighter in life and in sport.
Well, thanks, first of all, for having me. This is an awesome opportunity. The story goes, Haymakers for Hope, my buddy Andrew and I co-founded it in 2010. We were both training for the New York City Golden Gloves. I had actually won the Golden Gloves in 2009. Yep, at 132 pounds, and was coming back to keep my title. And I had in the past done some triathlons and marathons for a team in training. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and they have, you do endurance events and you fundraise, and we loved that kind of concept, but we also loved the sport of boxing, and we thought, well, why can't we use the sport of boxing to raise funds? And it's especially meaningful to me because I am a cancer survivor. I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma when I was 21,
wow.
And started boxing about 5 years later. And it really just kind of changed my life. That's where the idea of Haymakers was born. And we had our first event in Boston in 2011. Andrew and I, we thought maybe 400 people would show up and we'd be lucky to raise about $50,000 to donate to Dana-Farber. And by the end of the night, 1,000 people had shown up and the fighters raised collectively just under $200,000.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really taken on a life of its own. So we have two events every year. One's in May and it's co-ed. It's predominantly male. And just as a female fighter, my long-term goal, I had said to Andrew, was, I would love to have an all-women's event. And we really had the interest 2 years in a row with people signing up. We had a huge group of women signing up and they were interested. And in 2012, we decided we'd give it a shot, and we had the first all-women's Bells of the Brawl event, which supports breast cancer, and that is the event that's coming up on October 5th at the House of Blues in Boston. Everything goes to support breast cancer, and it's incredible because it's time and time again, year after year, we're having a minimum of about 28 women stepping in the ring for the first time, all ages, sizes, shapes, athletic backgrounds. We have one woman right now who she's really taken off in boxing, and she's doing a great job, and you wouldn't know watching her that she had never boxed a day before in her life. And I told her I was really impressed with her the other day, and she laughed and she said, you know, I've never done anything athletic in my entire life. I never did a team sport. I never did an individual sport. I never did anything. So it's really cool to see women and men just really latch onto a sport that I love so much, and in the end, be giving back and fundraising.
That's pretty awesome. I don't really know what to say. Those are all great
stories. Yeah, it's
really
awesome. It gets me out of bed in the morning. Yeah, I'm lucky. That's
definitely. I mean, gosh, how can you not get excited for all the things that you're doing? Not only are you, you know, raising money for a great cause, but you're inspiring people to take up sports that obviously the three of us love. And it's sure. always interesting to see what gets women into the sport and what makes them kind of like, ooh, I think I want to give this a go.
Right. And I think, yeah, that representation is so huge. I think that's why we are so proud to be aligned with Haymakers for Hope, because, you know, on a shallow level, and I don't mean shallow as in superficial, but just shallow, like on the first level, we really care about and are passionate about supporting women's journeys, whatever that looks like, especially in sports, sure, because we are a sports brand, but in life as well. But especially because we're seeing more and more, to your point, seeing more and more women, A, be curious about challenging themselves in new ways, but B, mm-hmm. choosing to challenge themselves in the realm of combat fitness, and in this case, boxing, right? You know, for us, that's like the shallow level impact that we want to make. But what I love about Haymakers for Hope and your story so much, it inspires me because, you know, my mom's a 2-time cancer survivor of breast cancer was her first one. And then her second one was liver cancer. She's doing well now, alive and kicking, literally kicking in Zumba and insanity. She like kills that insanity. But I think that's why for me, like I felt like, when I knew that you guys were doing Bells of the Brawl again this year, I had to find a way to make sure that we found a way to support you guys, because I just, when our designer, Raph, first told me about your story, it resonated with me, especially because of my own mom. But knowing the fact that you, as an athlete too, you know, did Golden Gloves, it was just like, man, like she, and then on top of that, I saw you at Haymakers for Hope this year, and you were, I think, what, 7 months or 8 months along?
I was really
pregnant. Yeah, you were like ready. Like homegirl was ready.
I was ready. I was like 8 months. I was 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, like eight and a half. I remember somebody saying to me.
Yeah, I was there.
And I was just like, there's nothing, literally nothing that can keep this woman down. So kudos to you for, I know that you probably never thought that you, one, surviving, fighting for survival, and two, fighting now literally in sport and creating a space for that. I know you probably never thought that you would make such an impact on people, but even before I started Society 9, I had heard about you guys, and it inspired me, because for me, it drove me to want to create something that can help elevate this community altogether. So tell me a little bit more about, for you in your own journey for Golden Gloves, what was that process like? Like what led you to the point to wanting to pursue Golden Gloves, and what was the actual training like, and then wanting to go back to pursue another title, another medal, another win? What was that all like for you?
Well, after I went through treatment, I just kind of was a little depressed, but I don't think I really acknowledged that I was really depressed. And I started running and, you know, doing the triathlons and marathons because I felt really, really lucky. I knew how lucky I was, going through chemo and radiation and virtually having very limited side effects. And, you know, I basically looked like the healthiest person in the treatment room. And I felt very, very lucky to bounce back as quickly as I did. So I started doing what I could, you know, why walk when you can run? And, I realized, at the time I walked into a boxing gym for fitness, and I realized, that I hated endurance events. So I stopped doing them. And boxing, as with most combat sports, it just consumes you. It gets under your skin. It's all you can think about. It's, you know, you're in the elevator trying to get to work and the door shuts and you're the only one in there, and you're shadow boxing and thinking about combinations and what you're going to do. And it just kind of takes over your life. And, boxing can be just a progressive sport where you start out looking at yourself in the mirror and shadow boxing, and then you hit the bag, then you start hitting mitts, and then it, the thought crosses your mind, well, what if I hit another person, and they hit back. Bags don't hit back. And I just really poured my heart and soul into the sport. And in New York City, it's the premier boxing tournament down there. And I just thought, well, let's give it a shot and let's see what I can do. And I trained with Francisco Mendez at Mendez Boxing, mm-hmm. Who ultimately he became like my father. I was with him training 6 days a week. Even on the seventh day when I had my day off, I would still go and have lunch there. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't leave. And we were lucky. And in 2009, I won the gloves, had shoulder surgery, and came back and was lucky enough to win again. They say anybody can win.
You busted your ass and you got
I did. They say anybody can win once. So to be taken seriously, you got to do it twice. So that was my goal.
That's awesome.
So crazy. Yeah. So what, do you know, like, when you realized you wanted to make the jump from, like, oh, you know, boxing's fun, it's getting me in shape, and then it's like, oh, maybe I'll do a little bit of sparring, and what was that spark that made you realize, like, you know what, like, I think I want to compete, I think I want to do this?
It was just challenging myself. Mm-hmm. You know, you start to learn what you're doing, but it doesn't really matter. I've always been a competitive person. I've always been an athlete. So for me, it just really kind of made sense that it was everything that I was learning for the first couple of years in the gym was really just a stepping stone to competing. Mm-hmm. And it's weird, but I think a lot of people would probably say the same thing in fighting and in boxing, you are fighting another person, but it's everything inside of you. I don't really care what the other person has to offer. I know that I worked hard. I put in my time, I busted my ass, I did what I was supposed to, and I just have to react and stick to my game plan and do what I'm supposed to do in there. It doesn't matter what they throw at me because I'm going to come back with what I've been trained to do. So that's what I did.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. When I was a rower, I'd always be like, okay, like I put in the work, like I'd like psych myself up before the start of every race, be like, all right, I know I did it. Like, here I am. I can't worry about, like, when they're going to make their moves. I can't worry about.
Right.
All I can worry about is, like, what I've done and what I'm going to do.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
I think it was the same with, like, my first fight last month. It was like, okay, like, I know I've got these tools. I just have to focus on that. And I think I know what she might do. But at the end of the day, like, it's all about what I can do.
Yeah. Because win or lose, if you didn't do what you needed to do to get in there, you're just going to hate yourself after, whether you won or you lost. I mean, if you won, then you kind of feel like, oh, I got out of that one by the skin of my teeth. And if you lost, that's just a horrible feeling to know that you didn't do the work and that's the reason you lost.
Right.
But, you know, if you go in there and you give it your all and you still lose, it's happened to me. First fight that I lost, it was my third fight, and she, I think, had 12 fights.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just nonstop. It was an awesome fight, and her and I have actually become really good friends since, but I knew that I did every possible thing I could to win that fight, and it just didn't go my way, and I was so happy at the end.
It's interesting.
Happy.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Just happy that it was over because my blood was everywhere.
It's so funny. I was just reading an article about boxing and the girl, she lost the fight, and the article was about this one fight. And she was saying there was a certain point in the fight where she knew she was going to lose the fight. So she just needed at that point to prove that she had like put in the work and that she was there. And I was like, gosh,
which fight was this?
It was the article. I can't remember where it was posted, but the title was something like How Boxing Made Me Face My Fears.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. I just posted that on Facebook. A friend of mine had posted it and I loved it. And she's actually talking about, Patricia Alcivar, who's the very first person I ever sparred.
Oh, crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah, she kicked the crap out of me.
Small world. That's so funny.
I know.
But yeah, no.
Yeah, women's boxing is very small.
Yeah, well, and that was the other thing that she talked about in that article was that mismatches happen all the time in women's combat sports because there just aren't a lot of us. And it's growing, but it's not growing fast enough. So it's funny that you said that that fight was your third fight and it was that other girl's 12th fight.
So, yeah,
that's a big difference in an experience.
Yeah, and that's like a thing that we with Haymakers, we really do our very best to, we're very hands-on and all throughout the training process. We go into gyms and we check out fighters, and we actually have opponents spar each other halfway through training to make sure that it's an even bout. While it's a sanctioned fight, mm-hmm. It is a charity event, and we want people to have an awesome experience from day one,
right?
From the minute they leave orientation to the minute they walk out of that ring. So we try to make it as even and as competitive as possible.
That's awesome.
Sharis, I would love to hear like just some anecdotes of what's happening in everyone's fight camp right now. Like, just is there, obviously you don't need to name names. I don't expect it, but just like, what are some cool stories? Obviously you shared one story of that one woman who's never to her.
I kind of want
to
know more about her.
Yeah.
Know,
just like what, share us some more about the ladies.
Well,
yeah.
There's, they have all different types of backgrounds. I mean, overall, for all the women, mm-hmm. not just the what we refer to as the bells, but the women who've competed in the May events. I mean, we've had yoga, mm-hmm. a yoga instructor. We've had a couple stay-at-home moms. The stay-at-home moms are the most dangerous, which you would never know. I can't even count how many nurses. That's obviously a pretty difficult profession, because we've had probably 10 to 12 nurses, mm-hmm. A chef, a social worker. We've got a pretty big name this year. Olympian Dara Torres is going to be fighting. We have a active military, a school teacher. We have a huge background, but different gyms run different things. But it's funny because the girls are there. They get more behind each other, and they're, you know, they're like a clique. One funny story mm-hmm. that I have is a gym, here in Massachusetts. He just joined Haymakers as an affiliate gym in May. And, he's got four girls training for mm-hmm. him, training for his gym. He's training them, and he's never trained a woman to fight in his life. And he's a former pro boxer. And, he said that one day during training, one of the girls caught a pretty nasty punch and started bleeding, and took off out of the ring, and all of the other girls that are doing Haymakers ran after her. So,
oh my gosh,
he's never trained women before. And then the fighter came out and said to him, you know, it didn't hurt. I just was I'm just having a really bad week. And he's standing there like, oh man, it's a lot different training girls than he's training guys. But
yeah,
it's so funny. That's a conversation I've had with my husband when he's training me.
It's just different. Just but different. I just thought it was so hysterical, and about the fact that the rest of the girls followed her into the bathroom. That's, you know, it's so funny. After girls fights, everybody hugs. We've seen opponents who, you know, you see on Facebook, they're heading out to the movies together later. So it's definitely cool to kind of offer this common ground to women. The sport of boxing, some women would never even look once at it. It's not for them. It's violent. And then through Haymakers and the charity, they give it a shot, and it turns out that they love it, and they're good at it, and they enjoy it. And it's really liberating, and it's empowering, and you know, it gives them a new sense of self-confidence that I don't know that they could get from somewhere else. And they meet a lot of like-minded women, and it's cool to see a lot of the friendships that blossom from that.
It's really cool too, how it being for a good cause does make it not acceptable, but more approachable for people that maybe never would have approached it in the first place. That's definitely
absolutely.
It's, when I was living in New Zealand, Les Mills actually would put on I can't remember what they called them, but they were basically like white collar fights, and they would. Get
Les Mills, really?
Yeah. Oh. They would get like these fight nights, and they were fundraisers too. And it was just so interesting to see these men and women that, like, some of them were like models, and they're like, yeah, like, sure, I've never boxed before in my life, but let's do this. Mm. Like, and it's definitely interesting when you put a good cause behind it, something that maybe seemed brutal, suddenly I think people recognize the kind of fraternal, the relationships that you build through it become more obvious when it's for a good cause. So who knew punching each other in the name of a good cause would make it okay?
I know. It's really cool. It's crazy because I owe so much to the sport of boxing. It really changed my life and kind of the path that I was going on. So, you know, first and foremost with Haymakers, my number one mission is to, we want to fundraise mm-hmm. and donate as much as we possibly can, supporting cancer research and awareness, care and survivorship. But then on the other side, just to introduce a sport that's given me so much that is really, I mean, there is that kind of brutal side to it, but it's just a beautiful sport mm-hmm. and introduce it to people who, just have never really kind of tried it before. And they have that same outcome where they fall in love and it changes them physically and mentally and emotionally. It's really cool.
Yeah. We just came back, from another trip to LA where we visited a bunch of gyms, that house a lot of members that happen to be our customers and are a part of our community. And we always, what's really exciting is we always get the opportunity to meet new women too. And we mm-hmm. love learning about their stories. And a lot of times what we'll ask is, you know, what made you want to do this? Or how long have you been doing this? And one gym in particular, it was a kickboxing class. And the girl, she said, this is only my fifth class, but, you know, by the second time I did it, the first class, I felt really stupid because I didn't know what was going on at all. But by the second class, I just felt like everything in my mind changed about myself. And her saying that, mm-hmm. she said it very innocently. Like I think she thought that I thought she was crazy for saying that. But I said to her, I was like, no, I totally feel the same way. That's exactly how I felt after my first class. And like, lo and behold, 6-7 years later, like I would love to try anything that I can get my hands on in the realm of like combat sports or mixed martial arts or whatever. Like because it's, you learn all the really complex ways in which your body is able to achieve anything against any type of odds, whether it's, wow, like I'm sparring against a much larger person than I am, or in your case, I'm mm-hmm. fighting a woman who's, this is her 12th fight. Like, you know, you just learn something right. new every single time about yourself. And I think for me, I've always been underestimated by my size. I mean, by nature, I'm 4'11". And I think that power to be able to walk down the street yourself and know that, yes, I'm a career woman. Yes, I'm a survivor in your case. Yes, I'm a mother also in your case. But then I also can do this. And I won twice doing that too. Like, and not that everybody competes, but I think there's something to be said about that representation of the spirit that it took to endure and to process through every single one of those paths or every single one of those journeys. I think that's just, I think it's really exciting. I think that's what makes Haymakers for Hope, like, it's not just a charity, right? Yes, you are a charity first and foremost, and yes, you're making an impact on this community, but, I mean, you have almost this sub-social impact side, too, where you're changing the lives of these fighters, too, like, especially these women in the context of Bells. You're changing their lives and how they view what they were or weren't able to do, or what they thought they were or weren't able to do before.
Yeah, we've definitely a side effect from Haymakers in the charity portion is people are getting in really great shape. Some mostly for a lot, it's the best shape of their life, but also just creating this community. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you are a Haymakers alumni and you see somebody on the beach in a Haymakers shirt, you're going to walk up to that person and oh, I know what you've been through. You know, as a former fighter, I know how hard it is to get ready for a fight, and I would get in the ring out of pure competition. People who are fighting for Haymakers, they're getting in there for competition, but they're also getting in there. The original source is because they want to raise money. Mm-hmm. They want to give back. They want to make a difference. And that that inspires me because that's a hell of a lot different than the reason that I used to get in the ring. So mm-hmm. it's really inspirational. And I used to think, it sounds kind of corny, but I used to think that, like, I didn't choose boxing. Boxing chose me. When I had first moved to New York City, I was living with a former boyfriend of mine. And I remember walking over the Brooklyn Bridge and seeing a sign for Gleason's. Oh. And it said boxing. And I said, oh, I want to do that. And he said, no. And at the time, he didn't know that I had grown up an athlete and I hadn't been doing any sports. He said, nah, you can't do that. And I said, yeah, you're right.
What is it with a couple months later,
I don't know. A couple months later, I signed up to run a marathon, ran my first, fast forward, he and I broke up. I had done 3 marathons and a triathlon. And the week that we broke up, I had biked to work and there was some construction down near my office, the tip of Manhattan. And I rode by a boxing gym. And I said, okay, I'm going to go in there after work. And I walked in there and I just never left.
That's awesome.
It was like a sign.
That's so cool.
It's great. It's such an awesome sport. I still, to this day, anytime I spar, I still get in there and almost like skip because I'm so excited and happy.
That's awesome. I feel you on that. Sometimes I probably get too excited. I'm just so excited. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yep. I know. I'm like a little kid still.
I know. One of the stops that we had on our gym tour was at this gym called Rounders MMA and Boxing, and it's a great community. And we were doing the Muay Thai sparring class, and we did 12 rounds, and it was exhausting. Whoa. But like I felt actually so invigorated afterwards. Like we were sitting in traffic heading back to where we needed to go, and like, I felt jazzed. Like, I felt like doing, you know, spirit fingers. It just felt like we had just had achieved such an accomplishment. It was just it was just a class, but it reinvigorates you every single time.
Such an adrenaline rush.
Totally. I have a question. So we were looking at the Haymakers for Hope site, and we noticed, obviously, you've started expanding into New York, which is super exciting. We'd love to hear a little bit more about that as well, so that any of our listeners that are not in Boston can see.
Los
Angeles. Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit more about your grand global plans? Because we would love to be able to share that with our audience.
Sure. We've had a lot of success in Boston with both the May Rock and Rumble event and the women's event in Bells. And New York was a no-brainer for Andrew and I. We met in New York. We became friends in New York, and we know tons of fighters and boxing gyms. And then Andrew and I were just kind of looking for another place to launch Haymakers. And a couple years ago, we were out in LA and just met with some gyms and started to recruit fighters. But it didn't end up taking off. We didn't pull the trigger on it simply because I was pregnant at the time and Andrew and I were flying back and forth, West Coast, East Coast. And a lot of what makes Haymakers as successful as it is we have this personal touch. It's run by 3 people. We're in and out of the gyms all the time, each week, where you can text me, call me, Slack message me, anything. We're super responsive, really hands-on. And we just didn't have like the bandwidth to keep that sort of personal touch out in LA. So it's definitely still on the horizon and something that we want to see happen. It just is still kind of in that very fluid state.
I'd compete in LA. Terrible boxer.
That's good to know. That's okay. I think there were a lot of awesome gyms out there. I think we could put you with somebody who'd get you ready. I have faith in you.
Oh yeah. I know she discounts herself way too much. So do you guys have a goal of when you would launch on the West Coast as well?
We don't right now. We have an alumni, who is out working in San Francisco, kind of poking around out there awesome. As a thought, because we'd love to bring it out to the West Coast. It's just such a fun event, and it would be really cool to expand and to launch outside of New York and Boston. Just to give other people the opportunity and see how it's received. So that's the goal.
So how crazy busy are you right now with it coming up so quickly? Because I mean, you kind of have 2 events just one after the other, and it's getting there. So how crazy is your life right now?
My life.
And you just had a baby.
Yeah. My life is pretty crazy. I actually moved, and then 5 days later had my son.
And my goodness.
Yeah, I don't really make good decisions. You can ask my parents. And I'm pretty busy. We've got the 2 events coming up, and then there's kind of a little bit of break after the New York event in November. So we have a little downtime until the fighters get back in the gym for the Boston May event in January. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's it's pretty crazy. Keeping tabs and checking in with the fighters and making sure that they're, you know, having a good time, making sure the trainers don't have any concerns, and then all that kind of back end stuff and what goes into actually putting on an event, sanctioning and officials and chairs and all that I don't really understand. chairs and seating and all that stuff that isn't my cup of tea, but there's a lot going on.
It's impressive, though. I mean, like, going to the last Haymakers for Hope event at the House of Blues in Boston, man, I was like, this is not some backyard, you know, garage, $5 at the door kind of, you know. This is a beautiful event that you guys put together, and the videos that you guys have interspersed between fights is so great because it really allows you to see, like, the power of your community when everybody's sharing their personal stories about why they fight. It's a very invigorating event, especially when if you love the sport, but you also love making an impact. It's really awesome to see everybody galvanized around that.
Thank you. Yeah, we want to, for a lot of the people who compete and participate in Haymakers, it's one and done. They will never, ever step in the ring again. And the way we look at it is they're doing something really extraordinarily special. Mm-hmm. if their end goal was to just raise money for Dana-Farber or Memorial Sloan Kettering or a smaller nonprofit organization, then they would do that. But they're choosing to have the experience of training for 4 months in a combat sport like boxing and getting in the ring in front of a couple thousand people, and their family and friends. And that is truly incredible. I know how much work and how stressful it can be. So we want these fighters to feel like world champions, and there's nowhere else that you're going to have an amateur fight and you're going to get an intro video. They don't even do that for a lot of the pro shows. You get a nickname, you come out to your entrance song. It's really, we want to make it the most memorable experience of their life. So we try to really just knock it out of the park each time, to just let people know, you know, this, we appreciate it, and what you're doing is really, truly incredible.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty excited
for
the event.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a good excuse to go to Boston and hang out with some pretty badass people.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. These girls are really, really working hard. They, you know, it's something just flips for women when they get in the ring. You know, you go your whole life with people telling you, oh, act like a lady, and you can't act like a lady in the ring because, you know, someone's going to try and hurt you.
It's definitely interesting how, you know, I know we've already kind of touched on it, but it never ceases to amaze me how when women do some form of combat sport, like boxing or Krav Maga or kickboxing, how it kind of redefines how they view themselves.
Sure.
Obviously, competing in a ring is much different, but not that long ago, we did a self-defense class, and there was one woman in particular, when she first came in, super shy, super quiet, you know, I wouldn't say, like, meek, but definitely, like, wasn't making, you could tell that there wasn't that presence about her, and then we did some, like, live situation drilling, and she became so lit up, and she, you could tell, like, there was just a spark, and she was, you know, communicating really well, and that's just from one class, so it's really cool how these women, you know, who, I know we've already talked about, but it's just really neat that Haymakers for Hope is giving these women this opportunity to do something that is going to have such an impact on them past this point. It's really, really neat.
Yeah, I love.
I just kind of can't get over it.
There was one cool story of a stay-at-home mom who fought a couple of years ago. She has 4 kids, and she said the most rewarding part about taking part in Haymakers was that her daughter would go to the gym with her and started to see her working out, and her little daughter would work out alongside of her and be like, "Look at me," and do push-ups and say, "Look how strong I am, Mom." And it meant so much to her. Yeah, it meant so much to her. And what drove her to get involved was, you know, she said, "I'm a stay-at-home mom. I want my kids to know that I'm more than I drive them to and from practice. I do their laundry. Yeah. I cook their dinner. I want them to know there's more. So it really resonated with her and meant a lot to have her daughter saying to her, you know, look how strong I am. And
for me, to hear a little girl,
I know it's just a side effect that you don't really think of. And I think that's such a cool message, especially in the day and age. You know, I have an 11-year-old daughter as well. And, you know, to the day and age of TV and phones, and you really want them to feel confident. And I think that boxing and combat sports in general for all people, but especially kids and especially little girls, is really, really good.
Empowering. You'll get no argument from us against that.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's awesome. Well, I know that you are very busy. I know that you have an event looming that we can't wait to be a part of, and we don't want to keep you much longer. So we can't say thank you enough for taking some time out your day to not only share the story of Haymakers, but your story, and also, you know, share some anecdotes about the women that are taking part in Bells this year. It's going to be a really cool event, and we're excited to see you guys continue to grow. And we feel very fortunate to be a part of it as well this year, and we can't wait.
Well, thanks so much. Thank you for believing in us.
Yeah, no, that's very well put. Yeah, I can't say how excited I am enough, especially being a fan of your organization for, you know, the past year, and now having the opportunity to support you guys in the way that we, you know, in whatever way we can. It's a humbling opportunity. So thanks for letting us be a part of your community and a part of your circle. And let's raise some money and kick some ass.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.